Here's what I have to say about creativity and being yourself is that it is all a selfish thing at the end of the day. And it's the most selfless thing that you can do to be selfish about who you are. Because if you don't understand yourself, how can you give of yourself? You know, like if you don't come to terms with this is the person that I am and this is what I do and what I don't do, and that might change or it might not change. If you don't come to realize that, you're always going to be at the mercy of everybody else's expectations of who you are.
Oh, man. What's up, everybody? Hey, I'm so excited about this week's podcast episode. It's with my good friend Jake Eliff. Jake and I have known each other for, 8 years now, and started off in a very similar place in life, and now life has taken us two drastically different ways, but we love to keep up with each other, and I love seeing what Jake's up to and how he's using his creativity and artistic abilities to incorporate that into his day in and day out routine of being a high school teacher in Sylacauga, Alabama. Jake, thank you so much for being on the podcast today. How you doing, man?
Dude, I'm good. Thanks for having me. It's been awesome to see all the stuff that you're making, but it's also just I'm honored to be on the show. This morning was great. I woke up and got my kids to school and set up a camera and had kids get ready for a test. And now I'm drinking some Red Bull and getting ready to go. We have a weather day today, so everybody gets out of school early. Mm. And so we're all stoked around here. So I think it's just, you know, as they used to say, good vibes all around.
Good vibes all
around. How are you, man?
I'm doing well. I had a conference call this morning with a company that I work with here in Nashville. And so yesterday we were supposed to do this, and I'm sorry I woke up with a bad migraine, but today we're going to knock it out, and it's going to be a good time. I love the little on-air sign behind you there, too, like an official official studio setup.
I turn it on all the time. I have my window open so that when teachers and stuff walk by, they're like, I use the on-air sign as like a don't bother me type thing. Yeah. So if it's on, it means that I'm doing something important. But truth be told, my mom just got it from Hobby Lobby and was like, this would be cool. So I was like, yeah, that would be cool.
Little head, big it's brain, like mom.
Right. It's like the time, you know how moms are about stuff. But yeah. My mom, when I was in college, I lived, you know, with Will, who's one of our good buddies. And for Christmas, she got me this, picture frame of a guitar. It was the most mom gift ever. So the picture frame was in the shape of the guitar, and it was all pictures of me and Will. And like on the side of it, it said music. And I was like, yeah. And so like she thought it was this great gift, and it was very sweet and very kind. But me and Will joked about that all the time with how that was like the most mom thing ever. And we hung it right up on our wall. So shout out to moms with their Hobby Lobby gift cards and all their great, you know, gift giving abilities.
Man, I have to wonder, I always ask myself, at what point do I reach that stage in life where the gifts I'm really excited about giving people are actually really awful gifts? I feel like I already might be there, and people are just being extremely gracious when I give them things.
I think that's how I am too. And that's why I've gotten really bad about receiving gifts, and I try not to show any emotion whatsoever when somebody gives me a gift, because I'm afraid that either I don't want to fake it if it's bad, but I also don't want to, like, I'm not just like a very overexcited person about that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Someone's just like, yeah, thank you. And some people take that the wrong way, and they're like, oh, he hates it, or, you know, whatever. But that's funny. Yeah.
When you really it's just you don't want to tell them that you hate it.
Right. Just give them money. I mean, give me money. Money is always a good option. Money is just always a good option.
Absolutely. But. Man, so Jake and I met in 2015. I feel like it's one of the weirdest stories of two people meeting. Obviously, social media was around at this point, and so we had followed each other. We had mutual friends all over the place, but he and I were at, the bar is closed now, but it was the Bottle Tree, or the Bottle Top, Bottle Tree something in Birmingham.
Bottle Tree, yeah.
Bottle Tree, and we were there to see Colony House together in 2015. They had just released their first record, and we're two of like 50 people that were at this show.
I'd say, yeah.
Yeah, it was them and Knox Hamilton, I believe, was the band that opened up for them. And, or maybe they were the opening. I can't even remember. But what I do remember is after the show, or through the show, I guess, Jake and I were talking. And, or no, this would have been 2014 because we hit the road in 2015. So we've known each other since 2014. We're at this show. And for some reason, I'm like, hey, Jake, my band, we're going on tour for a month in January. And this is like November of 2014. Yeah. And I'm like, any chance you'd like want to go on tour with us for a month? And Jake's like in college still, like has a girlfriend, like is pretty tied down in Florence, Alabama. But we freaking did it.
I love that story so much because we were at the show. I had just, I don't even know. I think Cass and I, who's my wife now, we had just started dating. And so literally just got a new girlfriend, was in like the hardest semester of college that I was in when my classes were actually, you know, it wasn't like the, your Englishes and science stuff. It was like the first semester that I was taking like, this is what you're going to do with your life classes. Will and I were playing music. We had never met.
Never.
And I just knew that I knew you existed because when Will and I were in college, in the first band we were ever in, Will and you bartered. I think he made you a logo and then you made us a lyric video or something like that. And that's the only time I'd ever heard your name or heard of you.
I forgot about that.
And so our very first conversation was literally like what a stranger tells a child. It was like, hey, do you want to get in a van with me and go somewhere really, really sketchy? And I was like, yeah.
And like, if,
I mean, I guess.
If the people could see the van, I'm going to try and find a picture and put it on the video here of the van that we took. This van was literally a city transit bus that we had won at an auction in the city of Gadsden, Alabama. And we took it to a dealership to look at, like, to check it out, to make sure it was okay to drive to California and back. And the guy said very sternly, I wouldn't leave the city limits in this thing with the way that it's held up right now. Like, it's not a good situation. We're like, oh yeah, that we'll totally heed that warning, but we didn't. And we drove from Alabama to freaking California and back. Granted, after we got to Colorado, the radiator exploded and we had to fill it up with water every like 2 hours. So, but it is what it is. And I think that's probably the coolest way that a friendship could ever start. Is
I agree. I don't think you can top that. Yeah. I feel like, you know, in the world of the online world, it's like, oh, I mean, I met my wife through Instagram. So I thank social media for giving me the best thing that ever happened to me. But our friendship is definitely, you, like I said, you can't beat, hey, our first conversation is let's go travel the world together and do what we love doing the most. And we did it. And I think that's the coolest thing. And I love that not just, it was the process of the journey was awesome. And I love looking back on the memories that we made and stuff like that. But I more so get excited because, like we talked about earlier, we didn't know, we just knew that each other existed basically. And then when we connected and crossed paths, now I think about all of the different friends that we've made in the friend groups that we are all just a weaving of relationships that happened because we went out on a limb and we're like, hey, do you want to go to California together? And we said, yes. I mean, the records that I've recorded with Old Sport wouldn't have happened because I wouldn't have known about the Smokestack and I wouldn't have met Brennan and all them. You know, when you think about how all of our friends from Carver Commodore came together and just all the different friendships and relationships that were meshed together through that one happenstance of us taking a chance on something, I think is so cool.
I also think it's pretty cool just the looking back now on where everybody is to think about the season of life where all of those people lived in Florence, Alabama. For the most part, like apart from us, all of these people that are super talented and doing incredible things all went to college at North Alabama and were like all there at the same time. It's like
I'm literally I'm the luckiest person when it comes to that because I tell my students all the time, like I'll show them stuff. Okay, like for instance, the other day, one of my kids was scrolling on TikTok and they were like, I heard this song playing and it was Willis and it was, I think I like when it rains. And I was like, I looked over and I said, is that Willis? And they're like, what are you talking about? And I was like, tell me who's on that song on TikTok. And they're like, it's Willis. And I pointed up and there's like three posters on my wall that says my name and Willis. And I'm like, yeah, I went to college with those people. And then it's like, you know, all these random people. But I say all that to say, like, it is very weird how all of those creative, insanely talented people were within like 2 miles of each other. And we were all hanging out together. But I really do feel like that is a testament to, I don't know if it's supernatural. I don't know if it's like nature versus nurture, science versus psychology, or whatever you want to say. Like, but I can speak for myself. And though, even though I'm in a different point of life and I'm doing a more, you know, traditional route, that's not like the normal creative, what you think of today route, I attest all of my skill and knowledge and creativity that I'm still taking because I was surrounded by so many other creative people at the time. I think my life would have been totally different if I wouldn't have been around such talented people, because you ultimately become the type of people that you're around. You know, our parents tell that stuff all the time to us. I feel like they're more talking about, like, you know, don't do drugs or don't do stupid things because you don't need to hang around bad people.
Yeah.
But the opposite is also true. Like, when you're around people that are pushing you to become better creatively or more artistic or more empathetic, that's the kind of person that you become as well. And so I'm super thankful that I got to live in Florence. And I tell kids all the time, I'm like, go live there, go to school there, go experience it, because it really is a place that is magical and unlike any other place I've ever been before.
It really is. Well, and you mentioned too, that you've taken more of a traditional route in life. I'd love to hear, because once we got back from that tour in 2015, I feel like things kind of like ramped up pretty quick into you moving from what would have been the craziest, most like hippie month of your life into very directional, very like purpose filled of like, I know where I'm going, I know what I want to do, and I'm going to do it. So from North Alabama, walk us through what happened. I mean, you're now married, you have two kids, you teach high school at Sylacauga High School. You have a podcast with your students. You do a weekly newsletter called the Sunday Studies. I mean, you're doing all sorts of things. And I have to imagine you're still writing songs and making music. So tell us what life has looked like in that more traditional realm of still being a creative.
Yeah, absolutely. So after we got back from tour, I went and finished my last year of college out. I got married in 2016. We stayed in Florence for a year. And then life just kind of moved us back to Sylacauga, where I grew up. And I got a job in the high school where I went to school and got to be started out as like a journalism teacher. And so really what happened was I was so blessed to be able to get a job where I was doing all of the things that I wanted to do, but in a place where I was affecting the lives of other people very practically. Like, you know, you can be a video editor, and I think a lot of times you don't see the fruits of your labor because all these random people are watching this video and you never like see the return on your investment. But I get to do that every day. I come into work, I create for a living, basically, is what I tell people. So I teach all video and graphic design classes. And so all those skills, I tell people this all the time. And I'm sorry, I'm all over the place, but that's just kind of who I am.
I love it.
I tell people this all the time. Like, who you are is just who you are.
Yeah.
And the things that you do become part of who you are. And, you know, I talk to high school kids all the time and they're like, I don't know what I'm going to do with my life. I was like, it's not about what you do. It's about who you are. It's about the kind of person that you are. And no matter what job you decide to take, whatever career path you decide to walk in, like, those parts of yourself don't go away. I tell people all the time, I'm like, I create because I want to, yes, but because that's just who I am. I can't not make stuff. So let's say that I get fired or I lose my job as a teacher. Or I go sell cars for a living next month, okay? Hope that doesn't happen, but if it does, I go sell cars for a living next month. I can promise you that I'm going to find a way to be creative as a car salesman.
I believe it.
Because that's just who I am. And so I felt kind of bummed at one point because I was like, oh, I'm doing all this stuff. And it's just, you know, I see, you know, in the world of social media and just in general, no matter what, you get that FOMO of, we all suffer from that of, we're seeing all of our friends do all these amazing things. And it's hard not to compare yourself to these people that you felt like you're equally as talented to them, or yep, they're just as creative as you are. And you're like, hey, like, I'm super proud of you. And look at me, I'm a stinking high school video teacher, right? You know,
high school video teacher.
But I think perspective is so important in everything that we do, because you can look at anything from a negative light, or you can look at it from a positive light, or you can just call it what it is and make the best of what you're given. And that's where I am right now as a teacher, is like, I love what I get to do. Because, for instance, what other job can you think of where you get free labor for somebody else to run your social media for you? So I teach media classes. So I'm leveraging that opportunity, and I have students that are running my TikTok account for me and helping me build a brand. And, you know, I'm teaching kids that are in the most free time that they've ever had in their life. I'm getting to show them, hey, this is how you can, you know, you're leveraging that opportunity for them, yeah, to hopefully spark passion and stuff like that. So there is a lot of reward. There's also a lot of really bad stuff that happens with being a teacher, but nothing is perfect. Mm-hmm. No job is perfect. No career path is perfect. Your perspective is what's going to change that, not the perfection. If you can have a good perspective, everything's going to fall into place no matter what you do. But if you're striving for perfection, you're always going to be left wanting more, because you're not ever going to attain that perfection. So that's what I do. I teach. I'm sorry if I'm rambling.
No.
So I teach. And then on the creative side of things, you know, I do Sunday studies. I write poems every day. I try to write songs when I can. I'm doing YouTube stuff just for fun. I started a podcast with one of my students here this past week or a couple weeks ago. And so it just goes back to that whole idea of, I've come to terms, when you get to a certain age, you realize who you are. Mm-hmm. And I think I know who I am now. And I'm confident to say I'm a father and a husband and a friend and a teacher, but I'm also an artist and a creative and a thinker and an inspirer. And I'm okay with being all of those things at the same time, because you're never just, I don't like this idea of I am this or I am that. We're a lot of different things at the same time.
Yep.
And to try and just like define ourselves or each other by what our Instagram bio says that we are or whatever is a really, really crappy way to think about what we are as human beings. So hopefully that kind of answered your question of where I am and what I'm doing.
That's spot on. And I mean, I feel like the issue with us as people is we don't know who we are, but we know what we do. And so I think sometimes, like for me, it's been stepping away from church ministry, stepping away from a week in, week out worship leading job where I'm the guy with the guitar. I'm the guy on stage. I'm the guy that everybody sees, everybody, you know, puts on this pedestal of having it figured out. And I've been that since I was 12 in some capacity or another. And so I was even talking to my pastor this week, just saying, man, I think the best thing for my soul right now is that I don't lead worship on like in a corporate environment, because I think it's been a part of who I am for so long. It's become like not just what I do, but it's become a part of my identity. And I think that's an issue, because you know, you're creative and you know that you're going to implement that sense of who you are into whatever job you do, I think a lot of us get so caught up in what we do in that specific season that when the season does change, we're lost and we have no idea what to do because we don't know who we are. And so I think that's huge that you can lean into who you are, that you've already figured that out. And for me, it's something that I'm still figuring out of like, I don't want to be classified as a musician. I don't want to be classified as a worship leader. Like, I just want to be Josh. But for me to just be Josh, I have to know who that is. And so it's a self-discovery process of like, okay, when somebody asks me who I am, all I know at this point, all that I've got figured out is I love people. I hate big crowds. I love creating, but I also need to take a break from music a lot of times so that I can absorb the stories that need to be told musically. So it's a lot of like pros and cons list of like, I know I like this. I know I hate this. That's who I am.
Constant. It's a constant battle in your brain of, these are the good things about who I am. These are the things I really hate about myself. These are the things that people are saying I'm good at. These are the things that I'm telling myself that I'm good at. So I heard somebody say this the other day, and I thought it was amazing, is that we have this mindset that when you, quote unquote, figure yourself out, that it restricts you to be more of something, right? But I think the opposite is actually true, that it's a paradox. But the more that you come to know yourself, the more flexible and wavy and, you know, fluffy, I guess the word it is, of like, I don't have to just be that thing.
Yeah.
I can, it becomes less of a, I have to do this because this is who I am. And it becomes more of a, hey, why don't we just give this a try? You know, I've never, let's take an example. Like, I didn't think that I could write poetry, but I started reading poetry books and I found this guy and I was like, I could do that. And there's no pressure behind it. It's just like, it's just what I do. And it's something I try. And maybe 2 weeks from now, I'm like, I'm tired of doing this. I don't want to do it anymore. But I'm not going to label myself as poet because I write poetry.
Yeah.
I'm not going to label myself as teacher because I teach in a high school, right? These are all just pieces of ourselves that help make Jake or make Josh or make whoever you are. I think we put the pressure on ourselves to be labeled by something, and we need labels because obviously we need structure and stability in our lives. But I've come to realize that things are a lot more fluid than I realized they were. And as I'm coming to know myself a little bit more and living that process of getting to know myself, I'm coming to see that it is just, I mean, it's not, it's all just up to whatever you want to make it.
Yeah.
So don't put the pressure on yourself to be something.
No, I love that. And I think it also causes our ego to automatically disappear. Because you're like, oh man, I don't have to put on this false identity for myself to feel like I'm who people want me to be or who people have expected me to be. Like, I can stop writing poetry after 2 weeks if I don't want to. And my ego is not going to hurt from it because I know that I was just doing it because I loved to do it.
If you build up that identity of yourself, the more pressure you're putting on yourself, because when you become the poetry guy or the music guy or the this, that's kind of what you were talking about a minute ago. It becomes this expectation of, you're the creative person. We need you to make this thing for us. Can you do this thing? Or whatever, where instead, if you're just like, I don't care. Here's what I have to say about creativity and being yourself is that it is all a selfish thing at the end of the day. And it's the most selfless thing that you can do to be selfish about who you are. Because if you don't understand yourself, how can you give of yourself? You know, like if you don't come to terms with, this is the person that I am, and this is what I do and what I don't do, and that might change or it might not change. If you don't come to realize that, you're always going to be at the mercy of everybody else's expectations of who you are.
Jeez.
And so that's why I've tried to like get off of social media. I still post on social media every day, but I've limited myself to 10 minutes a day, and I said, I'm not checking this anymore because I like what I wrote today. I like the thing that I put out there into the world because that's what I felt I needed to say. And if people like it, that's great. But if they don't like it, there's a billion other pieces of content that they can go find in 5 seconds that will probably hit their right spot or tickle their fancy in the right way and give them what they need. I'm not here to receive applause or get anything from people anymore. I've got gifts to give, and if people receive them, that's up to them.
Bro, that's good. That's so good. It makes
me well, think- I say that, and then probably 5 minutes from now, I'm going to be sitting here and going, I need to check my Instagram and see which post did the best so that I can know what kind of content to make tomorrow.
Bro.
You know, and so it is that constant struggle. I mean, what's your take on that? What do you have thoughts on this? Or I'm sure it swirls in your head. It swirls in everybody's head, I guess.
I do. Yeah. I think I had coffee with a guy when I first moved to town who is one of my favorite people, one of my favorite creators of all time. And he took the time to take me and grab coffee. And I was sitting and explaining to him, like, man, I feel like in a very prideful sense, I said, but I was like, man, I feel like I've got all these great ideas musically, and like, they're just not getting the traction that I think they deserve. And nobody's here. Like the ears that I think should be hearing them, or the amount of ears I think should be hearing them, are not hearing them. So I don't know what it is about the songs, or like, am I just not promoting it enough? And he just very gently and graciously said, I have thousands of voice notes in my phone. And this guy's way more established than I am, has way more listeners. And he said, there may never be another ear that hears those things. But if all it ever was perfume for me to pour out on the feet of Jesus, then none of them are wasted. And I was like, okay, like that sucks. Like it, when you have to really ask yourself, what was my intent in creating this? And our buddy Jordy said something a few months ago on TikTok, I think it was, and he was talking about the reality of this wave of social media where, because it's, I don't want to say it's easy, but because it's so common now to go viral, and I love too, you had a bit on viral being a term that we would use, and I want you to explain that a little bit more too, but Jordy basically said, because it's so frequently happening for people to go viral, now you kind of just have to create because you want to create and because you love it. Like the playing field is so evened out now that there's not really anything to copycat from. Now it's just really going to be determined who loves what they do by them just making things because they love to make things rather than making things for the sake of being heard or seen. And I think that's kind of a relieving thing for the artist, but I would love for you to tell people what, when you were talking about the word viral being the thing that we've decided to use for.
Yeah. Yes. Dude. Well, first of all, what you said about people loving what they make, I think about any kind of big phenomenon that's happened in the world, and it happens all the time. Like, you know, you think about like cigarettes when they first came out, and you had doctors on advertisements that were like, smoke these and you'll get skinny. And, you know, and there's all that stuff. And then 50 years from now, they're like, oh, these are actually causing everybody cancer. They're not good for us. But in the process, we came to realize that it took some pruning. Any new technology or any new invention or phenomenon in the world is going to take some time to, in its infancy stage, right? You got to think about everything in terms of human development. Of the internet is still a teenager. It's only been, and social media is still like in elementary school, if you really think about it. It's only, if it was a human, it's only been around really for 10 or 12 years.
Yeah.
Do we expect a 10 or 12 year old to understand themselves and know how they operate? No, they still do really stupid things. I'm 28 and I still do really stupid things.
Amen.
But I think what we're seeing now, because things are speeding up so quickly, is that we're learning how to use these tools that we've been given for the good. You know, I think about what Jesus said, the last word he said is like, you know, when he's basically saying, I'm in control, everything's going to be fine. And then he, you know, ascends into heaven. I don't think the world is getting worse, despite what people think. I think that we have to have bad things happen so that we can learn how to use the tools that we've been given to make the world better. And ultimately, like Jordy said, and like we're saying, like, thank goodness that we have gotten through this part of social media where it's all about instant fame and all that. Now, I don't think everybody thinks that way about it, but 10 years from now, we'll probably either say, well, remember that weird social media thing that we did? Or it'll still be around and we'll be using it in ways that are actually beneficial to our lives. So I love what you said about that, of like, you got to make stuff because you love to make it.
Yeah.
And if you don't, you're never going to do anything. So the viral thing, though, I don't know where this came from. I just thought about it the other day, because I don't like that, this whole idea of instant fame and stuff like that. And so I started thinking, like, why do we call it going viral? Well, I don't know if this is why they called it this or not, but I realized that the word viral comes from a virus. And so I started thinking about it, and this is my little spiel. So there are, I think it's 10 quintillion viruses in the world. And of all of the terms that we could have used to say what it means to be popular or famous on the internet, viral is the one that we chose to use. And I think that basically sums up what we're talking about here, is because just like there's a virus is more common than stars in the sky. Mm-hmm. It's more common than humans on the planet. And it's what we use to say, hey, I'm famous. Well, I think that sums it up, because anybody can be famous for anything online now, right?
Yeah.
Meme culture, or, you know, I think about random people on TikTok that just pop off because they told people what they were wearing that day. And now they've built a platform because of that. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? I don't think it's either. Just like a virus, all viruses aren't bad. Some viruses help protect us. It's not about how famous or popular you get or how viral you go. It's about using the tools that you've been given and learning the difference between being viral and being important in the lives of people around you. I'm a teacher at a high school. I have 24 kids that are about to come into my class in the next 30 minutes. And to me, that's equally as important as having a platform of a million people that listen to your music or whatever. We all have an audience every single day. We all have things that we need to share and gifts that we need to give. We don't need to worry about the quantity of people that receive it. It's just about give it to the people that are there. Be a good virus. If you're going to be a virus, be a good one that you know, don't be one that uses whatever platform you've been given to hurt other people or to boost your own ego or to make yourself more popular or powerful. Use it for good and be something that helps push the world forward in a good way. So yeah, that was my random thought of the week about going viral. Was it's a weird concept that's the word that we decided to use.
I love that, and I feel like it's extremely accurate to how quickly it comes and goes when it does happen to you, and it's just something that it's never fully satisfied. It's always molding until it, you know, it'll just continue to develop. We always have a hunger for the next big thing. And so if it's a million people,
and it's,
then when we get 100,000 views, we're sad that it wasn't a million views. You know, it's just,
you're never going to be satisfied.
Never going
to people are that's the human heart, right? We're always looking for something to fill that hole. And then when we find it, we throw it away and try to find a new hole. We create a new hole and try to find a way to fill it. And that's fine. I think that's part of being human. That's what makes us different from a tree or this can of Red Bull or whatever. Like, we have desires and we have longings. Use that, right?
Yeah.
But don't let it be what consumes you as a human. Like, use the things about your humanity, your desire and your love and your passion and all of that stuff for good. Be a good, that's going to be my next logo. Be a good virus.
It's like Osmosis Jones.
Yeah. Yeah.
Real That's quick, funny. We'll wrap this up here in a minute, because I know you do have a class coming in. You're a high school teacher now. If you were able to be a high school teacher to the high school version of Jake Eliff, what would be the thing that you would want to communicate to yourself at a high school age now that you're on the other side of it?
So I think... okay, from a practical standpoint, I wish that I would have had a teacher like me in high school, or a class like mine in high school, where we could have learned video editing and all those things. But ultimately, I think it worked out the way that it was supposed to. Everything's going to work out the way it needs to. If I could be a teacher to my high school self, I think as like cliche and teacher like as this sounds, I think it's just to realize that very fact, to realize everything that you're striving for is ultimately going to happen one way or another, no matter how hard you decide to try for it. Like, there are way too many things beyond your control and beyond your popularity and beyond your abilities. As great as you are at what you do and as great as you think you are, a lot of this stuff is just random and doesn't make any sense. So quit worrying about whether or not that girl down the hall likes you, or whether or not you're popular enough for these people, or whether or not you're cool enough for this or whatever. Like, it's okay. It's all going to be okay. Just keep doing your thing, and whatever that is, it's going to work out in the end. I'll finish off with a story, because this is what my counselor told me in high school to kind of sum up everything that we've talked about. I went down to the counselor at this very school when I was a junior in high school, and my counselor, who was also one of my creative photography teachers, sat me down in his office and he said, "What are you doing with your life?" And I said, "I have no clue." And I just started bawling my eyes out. I don't know what I'm doing with my life. I don't know where I'm going. I don't know what I'm doing. And he was like, "I need to tell you something." And I was like, "What?" He said, "You're going to go to the University of North Alabama and it's going to be the best thing that ever happened to you." And I said, "No, I'm not. I've already visited there twice. I hate it. I can't stand it. I'm never going there." I went in 2013 and visited again. Well, I went to community college because I didn't have my life figured out. I went in 2013 and played a show for literally nobody that night. It was pouring down rain, and I walked on campus, and I don't know what it was, but that moment when I stepped on campus by myself, I said, "This is where I'm going to school, and this is what I'm going to do." Now, whether or not that was just his random chance of him, whether he's a prophet or not, or he was just trying to make me feel better in the moment, everything worked out exactly how it was supposed to, regardless of how hard I tried to make my path work. And I think about that all the time, of how no matter what happens, or life could have happened so many different ways. I could have gotten a car wreck that night and we would have never gone to the Colony House show. I could have got stopped at a red light and, you know, whatever. All this whole like butterfly effect thing that everybody knows about, but it all works out in the end. So we just got to stop trying so hard, and just in the great words of Paul McCartney, we just got to let it be.
Let it be
what it be, let it do what it do, you know?
I love that.
That's what I would just pull my high school self into a room, turn off the lights, look at him, shine a flashlight on myself, say, "Let it be what it be, let it do what it do." And then I would push him back out the door, and then that would be the advice that I would give, and they'll be like, "God, I'd go and talk to my friends at home about, God, Mr. L, he's a freaking weirdo." he just pulled me in the classroom and said, "Let it be what it be, let it do what it do." What does that even mean? But yeah.
Oh my God.
You can tell that the Red Bull has kicked in.
I love it. No, Jake, I literally, this has been so good for me, and I know it's going to be extremely helpful for so many people that will listen to it. And I think, man, you're an inspiration to so many of us that are doing the starving artist thing, because you still create. Like, you didn't let, I don't know, I just feel like there's that eternal struggle in our brains as creatives of like, well, man, if I don't do the starving artist thing and I'm selling out to this idea. And I think you've not done that. I think you have maintained, you figured out a way to not be a starving artist. You're just an artist with a family, a wife and kids, and teaching high school. And I love that. And it's inspirational for me because, again, I think it all stems from you knowing who you are, and that who you are is not what you do only. It's just who you are, and what you do will portray who you are in every aspect of, you know, of life. And so just thank you for being a part of this. I'm so glad that we were able to get the time to knock this podcast out, and people can follow you on social media at Jake Eliff. Is that the,
so on Instagram it's Jake Eliff, on TikTok and YouTube it's Eliff I know, so Eliff I know. And my son says it all the time now, and I'm afraid he's gonna get kicked out of his daycare because I want to watch Eliff I know. And I'm just like, oh my God, probably not the best parenting move there, but it's catchy regardless. So
let it be what it be, let it do what it do. You know,
that's what I'm going to tell the teachers when they get mad at me. I'm just look at them, turn the lights off on them. Let it be what it be, let it do what it do. But dude, thank you so much for letting me be a part of it. And hopefully this will, I need everybody to go share this. Let's make this go viral so that me and Josh can just do a podcast forever. Well, we're going to be the next good virus. And we're going to spread positivity, and it's going to go so viral that me and Josh can just do a podcast all the time, and that's my hope. But if not, we'll do it another few months from now and do it again.
Absolutely.
Exactly, dude.
Jake, I love you, man. Thank you so much.
Dude, I love you too. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. We'll talk soon, okay?
All right, peace.
Bye.